Welcome to Late Talker Radio, the podcast that helps you navigate the early years when faced with your child having language delay. Packed with everything you need to feel empowered and positive about the future. Here's your host, consultant speech and language therapist of 20 years, Joanne Jones.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Late Talker Radio. Today we're talking about routines. Now, routines are there every day in every household. For some people, they're a huge part of life. Some people love routines. Other people are maybe slightly more resistant to routines. But either way, the routines are happening in your family and are actually really, really important for your child who is struggling to learn to talk. And so today what I want to do is just talk through routines and how they can help your child with their talking. So routines are really helpful and an important part of children's lives because they help to build their children's understanding. They help with sequencing. This happens, then this happens, then this happens. They help with developing vocabulary because each routine will have lots of different words within it that are important for children to learn. And they're great for interaction because they're often things that parent and child do together. And children need lots and lots of repetition, and routines are there as a great example of something that happens every single day. And so harnessing what we can do with routines can really help us to support children's learning at home. So children who are delayed with language need more repetition than those who are finding language early easy to use. And so having the same words within the same routine is going to be really helpful for children who are later at talking. Now, I'll just stop at this point and say it's really important for you to understand where your child is up to. And so I have got a very brief screening assessment that you can do. If you visit my Facebook page, it's called Easy Everyday Speech Therapy. If you go on there, there's a link at the top to the screening, which enables you to just see where your child's up to. And I talk about children as being in one of five groups when they're in these early language development phases. And so I will be referring to those groups as this goes on. So if you've not done that yet, stop this audio, go on over to the Facebook page, click over and just do that brief screening. It doesn't replace the speech and language therapy assessment at all, but it'll just give you a bit of an idea of which group your child's in. So when I'm talking about that further on in this podcast, you're going to really understand where your child is. Now, independence is really important, and I think children who are struggling to talk, so if they're late and they're talking, they're still not talking at maybe 2, 3, 4, it can be really easy for parents to stay within that baby mode and keep doing things for their child. Now, I'm always talking about this, getting the balance. So it's pushing forward, but keeping within the child's ability zone, because we want to push them, but we want to keep them feeling successful. So we don't want to push them outside of what they're physically capable of, but we do need to keep on pushing them forward a little bit. So within routines, for example, one routine might be getting dressed. And, you know, I'm a mum of four. I know it's much easier to kind of do the dressing and then we're done and then we can get out of the house and move on to the next thing. But actually, some children are really independent and I'll say, no, me do it, me, mine, I do it. But other children need those kind of pushing through those little phases. So it's about taking that routine and seeing at each point what your child can do. Now, if you're listening to this and thinking, oh gosh, I just dressed my three-year-old and I've not really thought about that, this is the time to kind of go and see which bits of that routine your child is able to do. And in the beginning, feels a little bit more painful than necessary. You think, oh, why am I doing this? I just could do it so much quicker myself. But in time, it not only helps you out that your child can do little bits themselves, but it's great for self-esteem. Children begin to feel more grown up, feel more capable, and that's really important, particularly when language is delayed, because children can quickly become overly dependent and feeling as though they can't do things. So it's really important that you give it a go. Choices are a really good way of introducing some interaction and some turn-taking within a routine. So for example, using dressing again, you could ask the child whether they wanted this top, or these socks, or these socks. Now, it might be that you normally just choose the clothes and get the children's clothes on, but if you can give them little choices with things like that that don't matter, you're including them in the routine and you're giving them a little bit of independence. Now at first you might think, oh, my child doesn't care, they won't choose, but unless you kind of do that consistently, you don't know whether you can encourage your child to make those choices. So give it a go. The other thing would be to have do you want to put on your trousers first or your t-shirt first? So again, within the routine, they're able to make some choices. You might do it at mealtime. So normally you give the cereal and then say a breakfast, and then you give a drink, or then you give some toast. But could you mix it up a little bit and say, do you want this one first or this one first? So they're able to kind of use that routine to have a little bit of a say and a little bit of independence. Now, this becomes really important when your children get into moving from group two to group three. And that is because at this stage, independence becomes a natural part of their development. And often children who were very compliant and very easy suddenly become a little bit more resistant and a bit more tantrumy, a bit more opinionated, and a bit more difficult to kind of handle. And offering choice to these children is a really good way to get them back on side. And again, as a mom, I know it takes more work, it's harder when you just need to get out of the house, if you've got other children as well, it can be really tricky to bring this in. But actually, in the long run, it helps your children to be more independent, to feel more involved, and it helps language development as well. Routines themselves can be communication killers, and what I mean by that is that because the same thing happens every day, often there is a kind of time constraint on them, and often parents are a kind of step ahead of where the child is up to. You know, you're already thinking of the next thing. Often the need for communication goes way down at these times because everybody just slots into their way of doing things, and you know, there's not that much opportunity for children to communicate. And if you think of how many times a day routines happen in your family, you know, just stop now and jot down all those little routines, teeth cleaning, maybe you tidy the bedroom before you go, getting ready to go to school or nursery, or getting the older ones ready, lunchtime, tea time, picking up from school or nursery, getting in the car to go swimming. You know, there's lots of routines that happen the same thing week in, week out. And if we can turn those around to become communication times, suddenly we've got all these opportunities during our day that we're doing speech therapy consistently, because it's triggered in us by the memory of what we do at these certain times. So these are my five top tips of how to change a mundane routine into an opportunity for speech and language therapy. So number one would be to do some pausing. So during that routine, just pause and see what happens. So I am thinking of a scenario where it's lunchtime, and normally what happens is you put your child in the chair up at the table, you go back to the kitchen, you prepare lunch, you put things on the plate, you come back in and you deliver it to your child, and your child eats their dinner. So what happens if you put your child in the chair, you make up the lunch, and as you approach the child, you just stop in your tracks, a little bit like a statue. Don't look with any anticipation, just almost stare into middle space and wait and see what happens. Does your child do anything to kind of get you back on track? Come on, mom, what are you doing? You know, you might get a noise, you might get a whinge, you might get a banging the table, you might get kicking on the floor, whatever it is, just wait. Because that has given your child an opportunity, maybe not to speak at this stage, but to say, hey, come on, I know what happens next. You're giving them a lunch, what are you doing? And that little exchange there is worth its weight in gold, because it's a communication and it's successful. And you go, oh, your lunch, and you put the lunch down. So you've just let them kind of intervene. It might be that you are dressing and you put one sock on and then you wait. And you've got the other sock in your hand. What does your child do? Do they notice? Do they not? Do they grab the sock? Do they wander off? What happens? And it's only by doing those pausing that you can see what happens next. So get pausing. Add the word. Make sure that the same words are being used every time. We're going to talk in the next point about kind of making things vocabulary rich, but just for now, commenting. Say sock, say lunch, say shoe, say bag. Whatever it is that you're doing, whatever you, is within the routine, say the word. The other thing is do something wrong, do something to mix it up. So you're getting dressed in the usual way and you put the sock on your child's hand, not their foot. What do? They notice? Do they give you a funny look? Do they pull it off? And then just respond by going, oh, silly mummy, sock on foot, silly daddy, sock on foot, and then put it in the right place. Give them their lunch without any food on the plate. What happens then? Do they protest? Do they throw it on the floor? Do they look blank? Do they look at you? Do they make eye contact? Do they make a noise? Give them that opportunity to make that communication attempt. And then respond to it. Oh, silly me, forgot the dinner. Here's your dinner. Talked already about choices, but that's a great way of making routines more communication rich. So offering choices as often as you can. Do you want milk or juice? Even though you know that it's always going to be milk, ask that question. Do you want to sit in this chair or that chair? Even though your child's always sat in the same chair, does it matter for that once? Could you give them that opportunity to choose? The other thing is tuning in. So tune in and really watch your child. I've had somebody say to me quite recently was, once I started to tune in, I realized how much that my child was communicating. She was telling me all sorts of things I've been missing. So communication comes in many forms, and it might just be a flick of the eye or a facial expression. But when you really tune in and start to really listen with your eyes, you'll see maybe some communication attempts that you previously missed. And almost by making these situations where you're giving your child a really good reason to communicate, it might really show up to you the things that they are doing to get their message across. So the next point I want to make is about making your routines vocabulary rich. And what do I mean by that? So we know that children who go on to have good language skills have heard a really deep breadth and depth of vocabulary. Now, that is not to say that what you need to do is talk to your child like you're reading the Financial Times and expose them to lots of adult words. It's about knowing where your child's up to and giving them lots of words within that group. So children in group 1 and 2, they need very repetitive, predictable words, lots of intonation, lots of sing-songy words, lots of words that describe what's happening, like crash and uh-oh, and things that have got a tune to them. All down, all gone, things like that. So they've got that very clear intonation and lots of repetition within your routines, always saying the same thing within the same little bit of your routine. When it gets to group 3, children need to hear lots and lots of words. They need to hear lots of nouns, so naming of everything that's happening. Toothbrush, tap, water, splash splash, wipe, brush brush, brush. So you're naming all the time what you're doing during that routine, and you're saying the same thing day in, day out. And you're not saying, come on now, we're going to brush our teeth and we're going to go up and down, brushing here, and then we're going to get a flannel and we're going to give your face a good wash round the back of your neck and turn that tap on and get the water. It's too much. They just need to hear the words that they need to know and that that's happening at that moment. So if you're brushing their teeth, you can say brush, brush, teeth, brush, 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 teeth. Don't start talking about what's going to happen next or what's happening out the window or what your other child's doing. Just give them that focused vocab. When they start using nouns, they need to hear lots and lots of verbs. So start adding the verbs, the doing words in as well. And I obviously use those in my examples. But do your nouns first and then start adding the verbs, because children need lots of nouns and lots of verbs in order to start building up sentences. So group four children need to hear lots of descriptive words, and they need to hear the cold water and the bristles on your brush, so the smaller parts of things hold the handle of the toothbrush, and the bristles, get some cold water, squirt the toothpaste, and you can begin to talk in like little phrases, two words together, but you want this kind of depth of vocab, not just about the brush, but about things on the brush or within the brush or things in the, lift the tap up, the cold water's coming. So you're talking more about what's happening, you're giving them that deeper understanding of the vocab. And then children in group five, we need to talk more about the why and the how, and we need to be talking in sentences that go together and asking questions that encourage children's thinking. So we would be talking about, why do we brush our teeth? To get all the plaque off, the plaque's hard on our teeth, let's brush the plaque off. Why do we need the water? We need the water to clean our toothbrush. So you might ask the question and answer the question if your child's not able to do that yet, but you're beginning to help them to think in a deeper way and to add vocabulary to the routine. Now, I wouldn't expect you to be doing that every time, and if your child's in group five, chances are that they might do some of this independently. But taking the opportunity and knowing that that's where your child is up to language-wise, you know, a couple of times a week you might talk about different aspects of this to help to encourage the development of their vocabulary. Now, for some children, routines can be really difficult, and I would recommend adding to your routines signs, using sign language, symbols or pictures, and singing. So singing is a great one. I always use this with my children because it helps them very early on, when language is not there yet, to be able to know what's coming next and what that routine is all about. So we had a hair brushing song, and we had a teeth cleaning song, and we had a baths ready song, and a dinner time song, and they were just songs that I made up as I went along. I'm no great singer, they weren't amazing, but I always sang them, and it helped children to predict what was going to happen next. So children in group one, definitely this is really useful for them, to be able to indicate what's coming next. You might want to use symbols to show children and help their independence grow. So if they are their language is they're finding it very difficult to learn language, and language is going on being difficult, introducing pictures is a really good way of helping them to grow some independence, but even before the language is there. And signing is good. You don't need to learn like as a specific sign language. You can just have signs that you use within the family. Natural gesture is great. Whatever comes naturally to you, don't be put off. Action is better than perfection. So doing anything is better than doing nothing. And add new routines. So you could have routines within your family where you go out and water the vegetables, or you feed next door's cat, or you go to the shops on a Tuesday, or a routine around washing the car or making biscuits where you do the same thing. And for children in group three, this is perfect because this is adding new vocabulary in a way that is repetitive and easy to learn. So think outside the box and add some new routines. And the last thing on my list to talk to you about is about using routines as a prompt for you. So if your child needs oral motor work and they need chewy tubes, for example, use a routine as a prompt. So it might be that I hope that didn't go off then. It might be that you remind yourself that you do oromotor just before dinner, or you do some speech sound practice at the same time as teeth brushing. So you use those routines as a prompt for you to slip in some of the work that you might want to do with your child. So a slightly longer podcast today, all about routines. If you know of anybody who would enjoy this or find this useful for their children, please do share it. I'd love to get the word out there about these podcasts because they're for you, and I'm hoping that they are useful and handy to learn some new skills while you're waiting for speech therapy or in between, or just to help any child in their talking journey. Thanks so much for listening, and see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Please look out for the next episode coming soon. And don't forget to take a look at our show notes at joannejones.co.uk. See you next time on Late Talker Radio. Bye for now.